You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
I am your host, DJ Chuang, and this is episode number 8. I'm coming to you from a Starbucks coffee house, and like the first comment on our iTunes subscription, the conversations I bring to you is like sitting in a coffee house more so than a living room. And you're welcome to add a comment on our blog or on the iTunes store, rate us, and even call in with your comments on our hotline. At all the information there is at socialmediachurch.net, or if you like email and you're kind of old school, you can email me at socialmediachurch.net, and the email is me at socialmediachurch.net. Anyways, I was holding off on publishing this episode because I was hoping to have a conversation with two of the internet campus pastors at Potential Church, formerly known as Flamingo Road Church, and Brian Vassell had something come up, so I wasn't able to capture a conversation with him for this episode. So we're going to jump right to talking with the current internet campus pastor of Potential Church, Nathan Castleberry. And I'm going to keep the intro very short, and the outro is just going to cut out, so you can enjoy the conversation I had with Nathan about a week and a half ago. And I'll mention at this point that I was just at Kansas City for the National Worship Leader Conference, a great time connecting with dozens of church leaders interested in social media, as well as worship music and all kinds of other things of the church. And I presented two workshops there about social media, and the slides are online at my personal website, djchuang.com. So I'll put a link in the show note. You can take a look at that. But one of the statistics I wanted to share with you, since you're listening to this podcast and you'd be very interested in kind of the latest stats related to social media and how things are developing there. So one of the stats I found was that 95% of all activity on a Facebook post happened in the first 22 hours. So that's a pretty short lifespan. And less than a day, all the engagement you're going to get on a typical Facebook post is going to happen within a day. Now, this is a general statistics. You may have a different experience in your particular audience, but just knowing kind of the general trend can help you to gauge how you want to develop your social media strategy there. And on Twitter, the lifespan is even shorter. 92% of retweets and 97% of at mentions on Twitter happen within the first hour. That's amazing. So that's one of the slides I shared during my workshop at the National Worship Leader Conference. And again, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can reference that, and I'll source it as well. It's too easy to just throw stats out there that are unsourced, and I'm trying to be more diligent with sourcing where I find these numbers, so at least you can give credit where credit is due and blame where blame needs to be. But there's another National Worship Leader Conference coming up in California in Escondido, which is just north of San Diego, and we're expecting a good size attendance from all over California. And even if you're out of state, come on down to San Diego in October. The dates are October 9th to 11th in Escondido. The website is worshipleader.com/NWLCCA, CA for California. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes. You'll love being there. I will be there. We'd love to connect with you in person. Our sage, Leonard Sweet, will be there as one of the keynotes, along with a bunch of other people that you can check the website to see. And I would love to meet you in person and continue our conversation about social media that flow out of here at a Social Media Church. So let me get you to the conversation with Nathan Castleberry, and then I'll see you on the other side.
Nathan Castleberry is with me for this episode. How did you get into that role following one of the pioneers, Brian Vassell?
Well, I've been on staff with Potential for about 3 years. I started off as a worship pastor at our campus in North Florida, Pensacola, and sort of just transitioned out of that role into more of like an associate campus pastor role. And then from there, basically around Christmas time of 2011, the conversation started for Pastor Brian Vassell, who started the internet campus at Potential, to he felt called to move into more of a pastoral care role. And so so my name got kind of suggested and was approached by our leadership team and was just given the option. And so my wife and I prayed about it and really felt this was the direction we needed to go. And so January we moved down here, and we're down here in Broward County, Miami, around that area, and took the job and been doing it for about 4 or 5 months now.
Wow, fantastic. Now, wouldn't you say it's a big change to go from a worship leader to an internet campus pastor? And what's it been like for you?
It's definitely a big change. But I feel like with our church, with our kind of style, a lot revolves around the creativity and production. And so there's a lot of transient skills that I feel like, you know, that applied really well in worship leadership that also go, you know, to being an internet campus pastor. And plus, at a multi-site church like ours, a lot of times the worship pastor wears kind of several hats. You know, it's not just a weekend music thing. It's helping develop the campus and helping the campus pastor, you know, with social media, spreading the word and just creating energy. And so a lot of the things that I was doing as a worship pastor under our model of ministry just was a natural, natural leadership transition into an internet role, a campus pastor role.
That is so cool. Well, I work at Worship Leader Magazine, so I'm very curious about how your skills as a worship leader have been transferable in your particular model. So can you unpack some of the things that you do similarly as a worship leader and now as an internet campus pastor?
Definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Love to. Well, I think one of the biggest responsibility of a worship pastor is to design and execute a service in a way that really sets the table for God to do some great things. And so online, we try to do the same thing that a worship pastor would. That's working with the production team to minimize distractions, to have smooth transitions, to basically help create a feeling of excellence so that people are expecting something good in their lives, you know? And so we try to have smooth video transitions. We've been working on improving the tech, just trying to make everything feel that there's a sense of, you know, like, okay, I really think something special is going on here. And so environment matters. The look of the page matters. Like I said, the transitions matter, the people that we put on the platform. So I have, you know, we really try to pursue ethnic and gender and age diversity so that we cast as big a net as possible. And so I'll have people of different ethnicities do welcomes and dismissals. I'll have, you know, women speak on there. So women, it's not uncommon to have women talk about signing up for baptism and all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of the similar things that you would think execute a well-oiled and minimized distraction worship service at a physical campus, the same principles apply to an online worship service.
That's fantastic. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a regular at Potential Church because I'm out here in California, and there's a number of churches that I try to connect with around the country and around the world. I did notice that you've got a whole new look on the webpage for the online campus, and I have joined in worship there on an iPad on a couple of occasions. So you do run a lot of technology there, and it's looking great. It sounds like you've done some upgrades during your time. And so what can people expect when they go for an online worship experience there? It sounds like you're doing a little more than just running a video of the physical worship.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we try to, and you know, we have this saying that's like one church where you are. And because because technology is where it's at now, you know, because of the church app and like I said, watching on an iPad, you can take church wherever you go. And so, you know, just knowing that we're that the internet is kind of the front door to our organization now, you know, we just try to make it very accessible, and we also try to keep the online viewer as a priority with the way we craft our services. And so we broadcast from our Cooper City location, which is also the main teaching venue. And so what we'll have is, before the service starts, while the countdown is running and you have announcement slides going, I'll pipe in from the auditorium in a side stage inside of our Cooper City location. I'll be speaking to the camera, and I'll basically welcome people to the Cooper City campus, and also at the same time welcome people online. I'll speak to, hey, if you're new here, we'd love to, you know, get your information so we can keep you up to date with the different opportunities. You know, just make some announcements, and a lot of times we will have people pipe in from other locations, other staff members, you know, come in from a coffee shop, and just to sort of, you know, have different locations on the video that help people identify, you know, some, because people that are watching church are watching from the coffee shops, watching from their living rooms. And so we don't like to just broadcast from inside the auditorium where it's all high tech. We also have like some co-hosts and whatnot that will pipe in from picked out environments like coffee shops. You know, we set up some living room areas and set up a camera crew in there. And so it won't just be me making the announcements as a campus pastor, but it'll be other volunteers, other staff members letting all the viewers know, hey, we're glad you're here. Don't miss out on this. You can sign up for baptism or for small groups. And then once the countdown clock ends, we broadcast worship. And usually what'll happen in the middle of the service, when the physical campus does a welcome time, we'll have our own welcome and make some announcements and recap and speak to the internet campus only. And then it'll go back into worship, and we'll broadcast a live teaching. And then the way the teaching wraps up, depending on the way our pastor's going, if there's like a response moment or kind of like a pastor prayer moment, you know, I'll pipe back in with video and just let people know, hey, look, if you'd want to receive prayer or encouragement, click this button or here's how you do it. And then from there, I'll sort of set up a giving moment. We'll play a giving video. We'll have someone do a dismissal. And so, like I said, it's a lot of the same elements you would have at a physical campus. It's just that it's designed in a way that it's more engaging and easier to identify from the home viewer or the coffee shop viewer or the mobile device viewer. Does that make sense?
That is amazing. Did I hear you say that you're doing all this live?
Well, a lot of it is live, but a lot of it we do pre-produced. Because we run seven services each weekend, but two of the services are a rebroadcast of the night shift services. So we like to make that available for more of the West Coast viewers. But we'll have moments that we do pre-recorded. Like a lot of times the dismissals will be pre-recorded, or like the giving setup. The things that we know are going to be a constant for the weekend. It's our philosophy is the less tech we have to focus on, the more people we can focus on. So anything I can pre-produce, we will, but we pre-produce it in a way that it's like simulates a live experience, because, you know, people seem to connect and identify and feel the energy of life. So we really try to capture that with a pre-production.
That is amazing. But that also sounds like quite a bit of technology that you and your team has to juggle. So how many people are involved in your internet campus team, staff and volunteers?
Staff, there's three paid staff, but two of them multitask. So one of the guys is very involved with a lot of the hosting and kind of a co-personality. He also is very involved with our TV ministry as kind of the producer role. And so we intentionally like to line up a lot of things with TV and internet because, you know, a lot of people will be watching on TV and they'll hear the, you know, which goes all over the world with the church network and TBN. A lot of times people will call in and say, man, I want to be a part of your church. And so our prayer line will direct people to the internet campus. And so it kind of makes sense for him and I to collaborate. And then we have another tech guy that is kind of like more of a tech consultant. And so, but then I've got a lot of volunteers that actually help me with the video production, heavily volunteer ran. And so they'll some interns that are growing in their video skills and want to learn more. And so we get together and basically, you know, line up with what the worship pastors have got planned for the service. And then we just find out, okay, this is what could be broadcasting and this is what we can produce and this is what we'll do live. And then we put it together and execute on the weekend.
That is amazing. And your church used to be called Flamingo Road, and then now it's called Potential Church. And back in the day, I believe your church was the first one to do an online baptism. And since that time, how many have you done that are just online, and do you still do that? And how do you handle communion? Talk about the ordinances.
Yeah, man, glad you asked about that. Those are some of our favorite things to do online. The ordinance is a little bit simpler, so the communion I'll talk about first. We basically, we know when we're going to do like a corporate communion with all the campuses, and so what we'll do is, when I'm hosting or doing a welcome, I'll sort of make an announcement, or whoever's co-hosting with me will speak directly to the people online. You know what, we're going to be doing communion, and this is one of the things that we do to remember the price that Jesus paid. It's a symbolic act. So go take this moment right now while we're engaging in the worship music and run in your kitchen and grab some bread or some crackers and some kind of juice. And then momentarily our pastor will lead us through the moment. And so usually Pastor Troy, who's our lead pastor, he'll sort of tag team that with the worship where pass out the bread and they'll, sing choruses as that's going on. He'll pray. And so he's really good. Whoever bringing that on the broadcast stage is really good and intentional about addressing the online audience as well. So that's how communion works. And then for baptism, that's something that is really cool for us, because when you think about baptism, it's really supposed to be an evangelistic act. It's telling the world, that, hey, I'm on God's team. God has changed my life, and so I'm identifying with the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so, we don't like to just make that be something that we do only inside the church on the weekend. We like to broadcast that. And so that's why we've really explored the avenue of saying, okay, how can we be under the umbrella of, the authority of Scripture, but still be able to baptize with technology? And so we have basically developed a system where, we put a button down where someone say, if you're interested in getting baptized, click here. It sends them to a page where there's a video that they can play that walks them through a little bit of what baptism is all about. They basically can fill out this little form. It flags me in my email. I follow up with them, and so no one that signs up to get baptized, like everyone that gets baptized, gets a very hands-on touch from me as an online pastor. And so it's very thorough questions, making sure they know what they're doing. And so then when it comes down that we walk them through the decision, they're still ready to do it, we say, okay, we believe biblically it's a submersion thing. And so do you have a bathtub or a swimming pool? Do you have some people, some friends in your family that can dunk you? And then we will either do it with Skype, or they'll pre-record it with their own digital camera and then send me – they'll either upload it to YouTube or Vimeo, or they'll directly send me the footage, and then we'll compile that and we'll show those online.
That's amazing. So how many have you done as a history of an internet campus?
In 4 years, it's – the number of actual video baptism is maybe around 20, but we've had a lot of people that actually travel, because one thing we do with our physical campus is we do beach baptisms. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of times people that are within a few hours of a physical campus but have been watching online will actually travel to the physical campus to go experience it with some of their potential church family just at a different location. So, for instance,